We often talk about our commitment to Christ. But before that ever existed, Christ was committed to us. The word commitment means the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity, an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. Commitment evokes a strong sense of intention and focus, and usually accompanied by a purpose and a plan of action. This morning, I want us to think about Christ's commitment. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 23, it says, as Peter is speaking, he says, "This man, speaking of Christ, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Christ was committed to coming to this earth to save man from his sins. And in seeing the depths of our Savior's commitment this morning, I want us to see the depths of his love. As we think about his commitment to us, think about that Christ was committed to the mission. That Christ came to do the Father's will. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 38. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 38. There it says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day." We could say that Jesus didn't come with his own agenda. He came to do the Father's will, to what the Father desired. And yet we see that the Father and the Son are so closely intertwined that that was Jesus' desire. That was his will to come. It involved him emptying himself of his glory, putting on the flesh of humanity, and becoming man's servant. The Father's will was for man to see God in the flesh, to see the way to live not in sin, but away from it or apart from it, free from sin and in a relationship with God. And this is what Jesus did. In his teachings, in his miracles, in all of his actions, it was pointing man to God so that he might believe and have eternal life. But the strength of commitment is seen when it is challenged. Man didn't want to seek freedom from sin and to believe in the Son of God. The Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Those that did follow him because of what he could give them. Or they were following him because they thought he was going to be a physical Messiah, one who would liberate them from the oppressions of Rome. I want you to imagine for just a moment. If your only task in life was to teach others CPR, that which would possibly save another person's life, and you spend countless hours demonstrating it, making presentations of how to do this, you do it in any way to get your point across, but most people don't listen. Or those who do listen, they want to know, well, what's in it for me? What can I, if I do this, what can I get out of it? Let me ask you, if that was your task, how long would it be before you would lose focus? How long would it be before your dedication would sort of dwindle? How long before you would say, you know, this is just pointless. Nobody wants to listen to this. And you're ready to give up. Christ became frustrated with man's lack of belief. In Mark chapter 8, in verses 11 and 12, The Pharisees there are said to argue with Jesus. They're wanting a sign from him. It's as if they're saying, will you show us a real sign? And notice what it says beginning there in verse 11. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Now notice verse 12. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. We sigh a lot in our lives. Because things aren't going our way. Because they're not what we want them to be. And here we see that very idea with Jesus. He sighed in his spirit. Why? Because of man's hardness of heart. Because for the Pharisees, their insincerity of their intentions, they wanted to trap him and nothing more. If we go to chapter 9 of Mark, we see Jesus has continued to be frustrated with man's lack of belief. He's just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And they meet up with the rest of the disciples. And there is a boy who is demon-possessed. But the disciples can't cast the demon out. They're struggling, they're having problems, and it comes into verse 19, and Jesus says, and he answered and said to them, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? How long shall I put up with you? Haven't you seen everything that I've done? Why can't you understand? He's frustrated because of man's lack of belief. We would have given up. We would have said it's not worth it. Man is just too hard-headed. He can't get it. But Jesus remained committed and he completed his mission. Jesus understood the value of a soul. He went to the cross and he gave himself to die for all the sins of mankind. And there on the cross in John chapter 19, actually that I believe that should be verse 30, not verse 20, but John 19 and verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He didn't give up on man. He went to the cross and he completed his mission. He said, it's finished, it's done. That the whole will of God had been completed in him because of his commitment to the mission. I also want us to see, though, that Christ was committed to love his Father. We see this commitment in the battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because here his commitment was tested. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning there in verse 39. Matthew 26, beginning there in verse 39, it says, and he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time, and praying, said this, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. We see this test of his commitment in his love to the Father. Because the humanity of Christ was not fully in tune with the will of the Father. This is what he had predetermined to do before the foundation of the world. But now, as it is here, his humanity does not want to go through it. He knows the horrible pain and suffering that he will endure. Not so much the physical pain, because There are other men who were going to go through that. Yes, that was intense. But it was the spiritual pain. That Jesus would stand in the place of guilty sinners and take on Him the punishment that we deserve. This would be a death that He would face alone, as a Father poured out on Him all of the wrath that came as a result of sin. And He acknowledges through His body, we might say, because it overwhelms Him. In Luke 22 and verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, He was praying very fervently, and His sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground." This is how much He was struggling with what He was having to do. But we see that He remained committed to the love of His Father, because he says the words, "If it is possible." He asked for the cross to be taken away, but to do this is to have salvation taken away from man. As one man said, the dreadful soul-shaking truth is that not even God could redeem man without the sacrifice of Himself in the person of Christ to pay the penalty for man's redemption. While Jesus did not want to go through the cross, He remained committed to the Father and to His will, because He says, "Not my will, but as you will." The will of the Father was that He loved sinful man so much that He sent His own Son to die so that we could have eternal life. The Father had to say no to His Son so that He could give us life. Can you imagine that, having to say no to your children? Not when they're asking for something frivolous, but when they are in pain, when they need something, and you have to say no. God said that to His Son so that we might have life. Gethsemane was a test of Christ's commitment. But in choosing the Father's will, He glorified the Father. He showed His love for the Father. And in so doing, He showed His love for us. And that's the third thing I want us to see, is that Christ was committed to love us. You see, He chose to go to the cross. In Romans chapter 5, and beginning there in verse 6, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, there it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't go to a cross for a people who were honoring Him and who were loving Him. He died on a cross for those who were His enemies, as Romans 5 tells us. That commitment to love us was tested. As He is arrested, knowing what He would face, Peter there takes out his sword and he's going to fight for the Lord, and he tries and he cuts off the ear of the slave of the high priest. But Jesus says, "Put your sword away." And He heals the slave's ear. But He says these words in Matthew 26, verse 53. "Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Now here's what I want you to think about this. For Jesus to have said that means that He had to think about that. It crossed His mind that He could call legions of angels to destroy it all. Can you imagine if you had that option? Here you're dying for your enemies, but you've got the option to just wipe it all out. His love was tested. Consider what Jesus would go through. We talked about the spiritual side, but just think about the physical side for just a moment. He's falsely arrested. He has false testimony brought against him. He's blasphemed. He's spit upon, beaten with fists, slapped in the face, blindfolded, and mocked. And all of that is done by the Jewish leaders. Then he's led to Pilate. And he has a conversation with Pilate, and he says there to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. Because if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight." He's sent to Herod. He's treated with contempt. They dress him up in a purple robe. They send him back to Pilate where he's scourged. A crown of thorns is put into his head. He is spat upon. He is hit in the head with the crown of the thorns being placed upon his head. He is mocked. And then he bears his own cross to Golgotha. I don't know. And this is purely my own speculation, but I wonder if at some point during that time, did he not think about again, I could call 12 legions of angels, more than 12 legions of angels, and just wipe it all out. But he didn't. He showed us his love. Rather than calling the angels, Jesus allowed ungodly sinners to nail him to the cross. And on the cross, he said, according to Luke 23 and verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Here his love for sinful man is displayed. Because he chose to die alone for you and me. As we commune with our Savior this morning, let's remember the depths of his commitment to us. Let us remember what he has done for us, because there's no greater gift.